I'm Mina Starziak Hawk, and this is Mina AF, where I answer all of your questions and you can ask me anything.
Can we talk about money?
Can you still breastfeed with implants?
You're both boss moms.
And I'd love to know the story of how you met.
Literally anything any of you want to hear. Listen as we build a community and get to know each other better.
Let's talk about microdosing. You know that feeling when your body and mind are really at peace, like after a workout or a nice long shower, where you've relaxed, you're focused, and a little energized? It feels just right, like you're in the zone. Well, microdose can help you not only get into that zone easier, but stay there longer. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. I absolutely love how helpful these gummies are. For me, half a microdose gummy during the day helps me really stay centered and really fresh as I get everything done on my list. And they really help me relax in the evenings as well and just be present and in the moment instead of worrying about things from the day or what I have to do tomorrow. Get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code MINAAF. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code MINAAF. For 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code MINAAF.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, you guys. Hope everyone's doing well. I'm Mina, and this is Mina AF. I hope you guys all had a lovely holiday. Hopefully it wasn't too stressful for anyone. Mine was interesting, as I'm sure you guys would all presume. But what I thought was more interesting is just how universal the like holiday family struggle is. So I went to a coffee shop in my neighborhood with Charlie, who's my three-year-old. On Friday morning, she wanted to get a croissant. Steve and Jack were hanging at the house. So it was just her and I. And despite the fact that she pretty much talks nonstop, while she was eating her croissant for 20 minutes, there was a lot of opportunity for my brain just to wander and pick up on other people's conversations. I'm not going to lie. I love a good eavesdrop. And even when we were standing in line for our coffee, the people in front of us, the people behind us, when we were sitting at our little table, there was two different groups that ended up on one side of us and one group on the other. So this was like five or six different groups of people all really discussing how unpleasant their holiday was, or how, you know, one person was really upsetting, or the whole thing was really stressful, or a significant other in their family. And I'm sure, because I see them on Instagram, there are amazing success stories of families that are like so functional and so kind and have really healthy boundaries. But at least in my coffee shop in downtown Indianapolis on Friday morning, the five people that I overheard, five groups, did not have that. What I did hear a lot of was, you know, people saying, well, you know, that's just family. So, you know, that's what you do. Or that's just how my stepmom is. Not my stepmom, you guys. My stepmom's great. This is literally what someone else said. She was like, that's just how my stepmom is. Like, she's really cold. She was talking about how her stepmom asked her, like, what if she was still doing some fill in the blank job. And she said, yeah. And her stepmom was like, oh, wow, I never thought you'd really make it that far in that profession or something. I wouldn't even call that passive aggressive. I would just call that aggressive. But, you know, those conversations, those like things that we all dread, you know, I'm sure everyone has like their thing, like, all right, I'm going around a bunch of friends. This is the one friend that I don't really, that's going to say something rude or say something inappropriate, or this is the family member that's going to do that. And there just seemed to be a lot of that in my little coffee shop, which made me feel less alone in you know, in my things that I'm struggling with now, but also just like such a bummer. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, just in general in life, I've been trying to like not reset. I didn't really have a ton of boundaries before, but like establish boundaries, understand that they're probably going to be like ever evolving, understanding where my kids and my husband fall into that boundary setting and the people we set them with. And during the holidays, I think that's probably one of the times it's really hard to, for people to stick with whatever their comfort zone is that they've created, because it is that time of year. And for a lot of people, it's, you know, Thanksgiving, and maybe it's just Christmas. Maybe it's not even Thanksgiving, and Christmas is like the one or two times a year you actually all get together and see your whole family. So there's a lot of pressure to, you know, just put on that smiling face and put up with weird Uncle Billy who gets drunk and is weird, or, you know, whatever it is. There's so much pressure because it's like, well, it's just these two times. You can put up with them for just this, or you can deal with them. That's just how they are. And I don't know the answer. So I'm just throwing this out there, you know, as a thought process. But, you know, where is a reasonable line boundary to set, yes, this is maybe the one or two times a year that we see everybody. So how do we do that? Because theoretically that's important, while also making it a pleasant experience for like us and ours, and really holding firm on comfortable boundaries without becoming the problem. Because I see that happen. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, whether it's in a good way or bad way. So, you know, if you're in a family that has done things a certain way for so long, and, you know, maybe it has, everyone gets a pass, you know, well, that's just Sally and that's just Joe and that's just who they are. So we all put up with them. And for whatever reason, maybe you've decided, well, I'm not going to do that anymore because that really like messes with my peace, and, or I don't want my kids to see that, or I don't want to be around that. I don't want to see Uncle Billy get drunk and fall and my kids to see that. Well, whatever the thing is, the first person to always stand firm on a boundary is probably, it's probably going to be very challenging. It's a hard thing to do day to day, but I think particularly during the holidays. So just a little, you know, I just wanted to put that out there. Like if you're feeling that struggle, you're definitely not alone. And I think it's okay to go either direction that's comfortable for you. If you're okay with adjusting your boundaries for a gathering because it's important to you or your mom or your dad or your grandparents because it's going to be maybe their last holiday, you know, don't feel like everything you've like worked for is, you know, now in the dumpster. But also be okay with saying, you know what, Grandma, I would love to see you on Sunday and take you to brunch and get you some coffee because it's important for me to spend time with you, but maybe not be at whatever the event is with the whole family because you have drunk Uncle Billy acting a fool. So obviously, you know, Thanksgiving's already over, but just thinking about that going into Christmas, I know, you know, at least my family has a handful of different activities, you know, like there's a Christmas Eve, there's a Christmas Day, a couple times Steve and I have hosted like gingerbread making, and Steve's grandma has her Christmas. So there's a lot of different chunks. It's not, usually tends to be a little bit more than the Thanksgiving holiday, which is, you know, it's good and bad. It's super fun time of year for the kids. So I want to jam as much stuff in with them and like in their cousins as they possibly can, because, well, they get to see some of their cousins very often. Like they're in school with some of their cousins. We live very close to them. There are other of their cousins where we don't get to see as often, even though they're in Indiana. So one of the super fun things that we do is like Christmas cookie making on Christmas Eve. They all like wear matching pajamas and they're so dang cute. We all just get together and it's not Christmas presents, because I don't think any of the adults want any more presents for their children. Because none of them need anything. So we all just get them matching pajamas and we make cookies and they all play. And it's ridiculously cute. Like the picture I have of, God, there must be like 15 of them all sitting together on the couch last year and their matching jammies was the cutest thing in the world. And then my family, my sister is like really, really good at the whole thoughtful thing. I'm not as good at it. We had a brunch over the weekend for my birthday, and she's so sweet. And she's like, this is what I ask people on their birthday. You know, what was the best thing, your best memory from 2023? And what is something you're looking forward to for 2024? And I was like, I was not ready for that. I don't think about those things. I said, I think I blacked out most of 2023. I had to go back through my photo album. And I was like, Jack's birthday party. That was the best time of 2023, because there's been a lot of not best moments. But so she's very thoughtful. And I think it was her idea for what we do, like kind of as adults and families, again, in lieu of presents, is we all print off our favorite picture of our family group from the last year. And we kind of exchange pictures and say why it was our favorite thing. So like last year, I think it was the picture of me, Steve, and the kids on Halloween, because that was just such a fun time. This year, it'll probably be one from Jack's birthday party. But that's one of the really like fun family events we do. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have them too. There's the mix. There's the ones that you are so excited to go to and the ones you're dreading to go to. So just like I said, again, like giving yourself some grace, giving yourself some room.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This time of year can cause so many problems in relationships. And Steve and I got into a conversation. It was not a fight. I wouldn't even go as far as to say a fight, but just something else that I want to volunteer that you keep in mind is like your person is your person and they're there all year long. So trying to keep that connection and respect and balance during the holidays can be really hard. But so Steve and I, my very thoughtful sister again, plans very far in advance. So she sent out a spreadsheet with like the pajama sizes and the activities for Thanksgiving through Christmas, probably in like September. And so you can't be like, oh, well, we already have plans, because who makes plans that early? But just over the weekend, Steve said, you know, my grandma and my uncle invited us to my grandma's on Christmas Eve. Can we go? And I wasn't prepared for that, because I have this long email of this event that I ordered pajamas for 6 years ago. And it's also a super challenging conversation because Steve's family is very small. I'm going to cry. The anniversary of his dad passing is tomorrow, actually. So it's not that like regular, we're going to go to this family versus family conversation or argument. For very good reason, every conversation around Steve's family is so loaded for him, and therefore, you know, loaded for me, because I care so much about making sure he's feeling loved on the holidays, because he has so fewer people that are his like core group that, you know, thought he was the world, that he was everything. And those are really big shoes to fill that no one could ever fill. I could never fill, but I try my best. So he says this and I'm like, oh shit. You know, well, we do have the cookie making, the thing on Christmas Eve, at 4:30. This dinner is at 4:00. I was like, is there any way, you know, I don't know exactly what it entails. Is there any way where they could do like it start an hour earlier so we could maybe try to go to both? He made a good point. He's like, if someone's inviting you to a holiday party, your response isn't, can you change the time for me? Respect. And so I think he kind of threw the ball back in my court. Like, is there any way the cousin thing could happen earlier? And I was like, well, there actually is a good reason that the cousin thing happens when it does. It's because nap time. All the kids get up at 4. So all the fun starts at 4:30 to give people time to get there. But I think it was an opportunity for Steve and I to have gotten into a big argument. And so I think y'all are going to be presented with plenty of those planning over the next few weeks going into the holidays. But it was a conversation that presented an opportunity that could have turned into a fight. And we actually had a really good session with our therapist. We still go. We go pretty, like, not pretty regularly. If we're, like, in a challenging time, we'll go weekly or every other week. If we're in a good place, you know, maybe we'll go once a month or every 6 weeks, something like that. But things have been tough this last year, just across the board. And it's really hard to have everything else be tough and, you know, your marriage be perfect. So, you know, we've been going through some stuff, and we were with our therapist about a week or two ago. And I don't even remember what she said, but Steve's response was, well, in a perfect world, yeah, that'd be great. And y'all, let me tell you, she's known us long enough, so she knows she can talk to us like this, but she lit us up, both of us. She was like, what do you mean in a perfect world? You guys are living in the perfect world. Your kids will never love you more. Your health will never be better. You will never be more, you're financially stable. She went on and on and on. But the point was, like, she was like, you guys are being assholes. Your life is perfect. It will never get more perfect. And, you know, if I could go back to this age with my kids, like, that's where I would go back. I wouldn't go back to anything else. I wouldn't go back to my 20s. I would go back to exactly where you are. So you need to knock that shit off right now. In a perfect world, you're living it. So act like you are. That was the one thing that was a really good nugget, I think, for us. And the other thing was, she was like, you're playing this game of ping pong and you guys are each taking 8 hits. Someone says something, the other person can respond, and then maybe you respond again. She was like, you get 3 hits. It's ping pong. The ball's going back and forth 3 times. You guys are going back and forth 8 times. You're getting in the weeds, and that's what's causing arguments. That's what's causing fights. So think about the things before you say them. Think about, well, I only get one chance to convey what I'm feeling or thinking about this, so let me do it in a good way, in the right way, that's going to mean what I say, instead of whatever is the first thing that falls out of your mouth comes out, and then it leads to this back and forth that just doesn't need to happen. So that's been really at the forefront of my mind the last couple of weeks, like, in our conversations, like, okay, we only get 2 to 4 max back and forth. We're not going to go down the rabbit hole, because none of these things are that deep. We are not talking life or death decisions. We're not talking, you know, kids' health issue. It's just, we're not. Nothing needs to be talked to death like that. So when Steve brought up his family Christmas, that's the first thing that I thought of, like, okay, how can we have this conversation in a way where it doesn't go down a rabbit hole that could result in us being pissed and not talking to each other for a day or whatever it looks like. And I think Steve has been doing that as well, because our conversations, while sometimes it feels like they end too abruptly, I think because we both know we're going into them with the intention to have things be short and sweet and not get into the weeds, we both know we're not doing it because we, you know, are mad or don't care or don't like the person at the time. It's like, this is the goal, is to keep things short and sweet so they don't turn into arguments. So going into it with Steve having that kind of somewhat recent little bit, tidbit of conversation from our therapist and me as well, when he said it, I could tell immediately that me saying, well, we have this other thing on Christmas Eve, was tough for him, because we've never gone to his grandma's. And I was trying to figure out in my head, like, okay, we don't ever go to your grandma's. So is it important? Has it been important? And I just haven't understood how important it was. You know, I've said a few times, you know, we should do something with your grandma. Like, she's not really ever gotten to see the kids much, because Steve's parents passed away and his sister passed away. It's just different. The getting together, like, there's this, like, generation gap that's just not there, that would plan these things. And you know, make a priority of it. So we haven't seen his grandma in a really long time, and she's not actually ever met the kids with us. She's met them with his, she met Jack with Steve's brother when he was little. But we just kind of landed on compromising and trying our best to do both. And I said, you know, I'm more than happy. Your grandma starts at 4. I'm more than happy to start there, go there for an hour, then go to the cousins thing. We can do it vice versa. You know, if we're a little bit past the kids' bedtime, that's okay, because I know them seeing your grandma and getting to know her a little bit more, as well as being able to be with all their cousins, like those things are both important to us. And I don't think there was necessarily a resolution, now that I'm saying it, at the time. I think Steve probably needed some time to process and figure out like what option made him the most comfortable. But the point is like just having the conversation, and they're never easy, particularly around the holidays. So just think about those things. And even at events, you know, one of the holiday things we were at this past weekend, it was just two doors down, and Steve came, but he came up to me a little bit into it and was like, I'm having a really hard time. I'm going to head back home. And we hadn't talked about that ahead of time, but because I know him and I know what he was talking about and I know what he was needing, it was a non-issue. But I could see in a lot of relationships that turning into a huge fight, either there or later. Steve needed to leave because he was having a hard time for a handful of reasons, but most importantly that his dad passed away a few days after Thanksgiving. So every year this time of year, and just his birthday and Father's Day and Christmas, but particularly this time of year because it's the anniversary, is just really, really challenging for him. And I think it's also challenging him for him to see me struggle with my family, but they're there. I think that's hard for him in a lot of different ways. So when he said it, you know, he needed to go, 100% done, no argument now, no argument later. So I think that's something else to think about with your person, with your kids, if they're old enough, like, okay, we're going to go do XYZ, but let's have a conversation ahead of time. These are the things that I'm concerned could happen that could trigger me or upset me, or, you know, my uncle could backhandedly make a comment about my husband's job, whatever it is, whatever the things are. Like, have that conversation in advance. I don't think you need to dwell on it, like planning that something bad is going to happen. But if you have that type of family group where you feel like they're going to cross boundaries with you and or a member of your family, just like having a plan in advance. So if the thing or one of the things happens and your partner is like, this isn't for me, I'm out, I got to go, There's a signal or something. And even if it's them Ubering because you guys drove separate, whatever. I think do what works best for you. But I think removing yourself from that situation is going to cause far less drama than staying there. And then the only fight that's going to ensue is probably between you two later. But so figuring it out, like have a code word or have like a, when I scratch my eye or my eyebrow, you know, like, It's getting to a point where I need a break. And even if that's just stepping outside and pretending you're on a phone call for 10 minutes, try to talk about that stuff ahead of time. So there is a plan. So it doesn't feel like, you know, you're just getting bum rushed with like, I gotta go, your family is crazy. And then of course there's a fight, because while we can all talk shit about our own family, you definitely don't want other people to talk shit about your family. So it tends to create a fight, even if the person saying your family is crazy is not wrong. So those are the kind of things that have come across my mind, you know, going through Thanksgiving, going into Christmas. And I think just really thinking about spending time with the people that you want to spend time with. It sounds selfish, but like this is such an important time of year for everyone. And we all do so many things during this time of year to please other people that don't please ourselves. So just try to balance that. I'm not saying like be completely selfish and what matters to other people, you know, throw to the wolves, but just actively having that conversation and that thought process internally, but also with the people that matter about what you want to be doing and how you want to be spending your time, because it's super depressing to go to the coffee shop the morning after a holiday that's supposed to be one that we're so thankful for everything we have. And I didn't hear one nice thing said from any person that I was eavesdropping on. And that's just such a bummer. It makes me feel less alone, but it's such a bummer. So those are my tidbits of wisdom. Don't drink too much. Have a good time. Be safe. Be healthy. Be happy. Because when you think about it, we really are, a lot of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but in the perfect world. And when you put it in that perspective, it's just very clarifying. I'm never going to be healthier. I'm never going to have my kids love more than I do now. I am never fill in the blank. Like, this really is, even with all of its challenges, it's a perfect world. So I'm trying really hard to remember that and to move with gratitude. Because when it feels really hard, sometimes it feels like there is nothing. Like, what am I being punished for? What did I do in another life? And that's just not the way to go about it. So I'm really trying hard to adjust my attitude from, a lot of people have been asking me, so like, what's next? And I've kind of, I guess, like swung between the ways I presented it. But, you know, I'm 39 and getting to decide again what I want to be when I grow up. And on one hand, that sounds like super depressing that I don't have my shit together and don't have a plan and don't have it all figured out. But also, I have the opportunity to be 39 and getting to figure out again what I want to do with the next phase of my life, which is one that not a lot of people have. And so I'm trying to be grateful for that and understand that I'm in a position where I can make choices. And a lot of people are in a position where they have to stay in a job they hate because they need a paycheck, because they have kids they're feeding, or they're a single parent, or whatever it is. And I've worked really hard to be where I am. And I don't know where I'm going, but I'm just gonna look at it in a different light going into 2024. And it's super cheesy. Like, I don't make New Year's resolutions, because I feel like if you want to make a change, you should just make it. Do it today, not tomorrow. Do it yesterday. Would be even better. But I do feel like any time that you feel like right now, not even necessarily New Year's, right now feels like a really good time to reset, to clear the slate, to clear my mind, to let go of a lot of shit, and to move through the holidays and into the new year just with this real feeling of gratitude for where I am, who I'm with, and what I have the ability to do. So I just want to remind you guys to do the same, because although your situation, I'm sure, are different, I think if you can put it in perspective, you'll realize that we're all very, very lucky and blessed to be where we are and who we're with and doing what we're doing, even if it's not your dream job. Maybe it has really good health insurance, because mine sucks, guys. But that's all. And like I said, enjoy your time. Make a plan. Don't lose your minds. Don't bicker with each other when the problem are with other people. Talk about things. Only hit the ping pong back and forth 3 or 4 times, guys. I'm telling you, we've been doing it for about 2 weeks now, and it's like life-changing in our conversations. And as always, you know, click the link in the show notes. So if you guys want to drop questions at the link, I'll still be listening to them. So if there's any kind of debrief from your holiday that you want to share, or, you know, thoughts that you have or questions that you have for me, definitely leave them in the show notes. And I just want to say a big, big, big thank you. We started this January of this year, and it's been slow and steady, and you guys are an amazing audience. It's pretty much the same chunk of you that is ride or die every week and makes it feel like this makes a difference for some people. So thank you guys for listening and dropping in questions and sending me messages. Even though I don't respond to all of them, I see most of them and they really are super meaningful. So thank you for that. And if I could ask one thing of you, it's just helping spread the word. I guess word of mouth is really the best thing for the podcast. If it's been meaningful to you, share it with a friend you might think it would be meaningful to or helpful to. That's how we grow and hopefully can keep doing this because right now it's just for fun. It's not for money. Click the little thing, follow the podcast, and I would be forever grateful. I'll see you next Tuesday. Love you all.